What's up, guys? Welcome to Think Computer's weekly tech podcast, episode 37. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that definitely helps us out and helps this podcast keep on going. With me this morning, as pretty much every Friday morning, I have Derek with me. What's up, Derek?
Not much, Bob. How you doing?
Pretty good. It's raining here. What's it like in Michigan? Is it cold there yet?
Dude, it's been awesome this week.
Yeah, same here.
But today it's overcast. Last night it was like raining like crazy. It was like sideways. It was blowing so hard. So yeah, going downhill now. Winter's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the past couple days here have been, it's like it was summer. It was weird.
I know. They were actually like nicer than summer almost.
Yeah. It was like perfect days. I tried to get outside as much as I could this past couple days.
Yeah.
So.
Right on.
But yeah, let's jump into what we're here to talk about, which is tech. And we'll go over our reviews for the week. And we had two reviews. Our first one is the Audiofly AF56M in-ear headphones. And a couple weeks ago, I took a look at the higher-end AF78s, and these are a step down from that. And I have to say, Audiofly is doing something right, because usually, you know, the high-end headphones, you know, they're usually really good. And then when you start to step down, they get worse. But these are just, these sound good. They're super comfortable. This is the M version, so it has the inline microphone, which works really well.
Is that, did you ever figure out if that's both iPhone and Android compatible?
It is.
Cool.
Both iPhone and Android compatible. These are really lightweight, so the 78s are kind of heavy. These are really lightweight, so you really don't even feel them in your ears, kind of. It's weird, because I had them on one day for like 4.5 hours, and like,
oh really?
By the end of the day, you know, like I just, they like barely felt like they were in my ears, you know, which I liked. But they still have really good sound, great sound for obviously listening to music. That's what they're mainly made for. But even like taking phone calls and stuff, like the sound is really good. You know, it's not one of those things where it's like it's not the bass isn't overpowering. You see that on a lot of headphones, especially in-ear headphones. They kind of overdo the bass, and this is just like it's perfectly tuned. I think now that they've been out for a while, I think they're close to $50 or $60, which is like a no brainer in my
opinion. That's real cheap. They look really good too.
Yeah. They have a bunch of different colors. It's just a great, they're $54.99 on Amazon, which is like nothing. Yeah.
Is that a braided cable on there too?
Yeah. So it's thin, but it's braided. I forget, they call it their AudioFlex cable. It's completely braided. Both ends of the connection are protected. So sometimes on headphones, one of the ends, either the end that connects to the actual earbud or the end that has the audio connector, will kind of start, you know, I guess, breaking.
Yeah.
And this is protected on both ends. The actual connector that goes into your mobile device is kind of longer. So if you have, say, like a case on your phone or something like that, you don't actually have to take the case off to use these either.
Oh, yeah. I've had that in the past.
Yeah. So they kind of just thought of everything. This comes with 4 sets of ear tips. It does not come with the foam ear tips.
No.
That I really, like, raved about on the AF78s.
Yeah.
But still, the silicone ear tips are very comfortable. They give you a little bit of sound dampening as well. Not as much, obviously, as the foam ones. But they still do a great job. You can buy the foam ones for this if you really want them. But
yeah. Sweet. Good set of headphones.
Yeah, it's just like Audiofly really impressed me. And then we'll be looking at their next set, which is the 45s, I think, which is another step down. So we'll see how those go.
Yeah.
In the next couple of weeks, we'll be taking a look at those. So yeah, so far, Audiofly, if you're looking for a good set of earbuds, they're a brand I can totally recommend.
Nice.
I really can't say much wrong about these at all.
So, sound-wise, you didn't really notice any difference, or...?
Compared to the 78s, they're not as good.
Okay.
You can just tell. The AF78s have a dual driver in them. This has a single.
Oh, okay.
But it's still really good sound, really... like I said, listening to music on these is just, like, it's a treat. It really is.
And for about a third the price, right?
Yeah. Nice. These sound really good. It's really hard to explain the sound. You know what I mean? You really have to go into the store if you're if you have the ability to and really listen to these or buy them, you know, thinking you might return them and test them out for a little bit. I know Amazon has 30-day return on most products. You know, you have to really listen to these. And, you know, if you're used to, say, like the headphones that come with your mobile device and then you try these, it's a complete difference.
Nice.
Really, really like them. They fit in your ear really well, too. You know, if you're running or doing anything like that, they're going to stay in your ear. And they're not like a sport type.
You
know.
Did they come with multiple size tips?
Yeah, they come with three different size tips.
Okay. So, all the same shape, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all the same shape. Yeah, they work really well. Like I said, I didn't really have a single issue. Just a little bumped out they didn't come with a set of foam tips, but
yeah, at $50, I mean,
yeah,
can't complain too much.
Yeah, so really great. Definitely would recommend. So far, I would recommend the 56s and the 78s if you're looking for in-ear headphones. So
nice.
So yeah. Took a look at that, and then I took a look at a really cool mobile product from TechArmor. And TechArmor's a really interesting story. You know, as to doing this review, I went back and I kind of read about the company because this is a new company for us. And they had started selling screen protectors and cables and cases for mobile devices, you know, and that's how they started. And all of those products were like rated number one on Amazon, which is kind of crazy. Yeah. And most of their products, not the product we reviewed, but most of their products, like the cables and the cases and the screen protectors, they back with a lifetime warranty, which is like unheard of. You know, all those lightning cables for iPhones, they always break and stuff like that, and you have to go buy another one. Their lightning cable, which they actually sent us one, but their lightning cable, one, it's really heavy duty. Two, lifetime warranty. So if it breaks, you can just get another one, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's sweet.
So that's kind of how the company started, and now they're selling mobile power banks or mobile chargers, and they're priced very aggressively. Solely sold through Amazon.
Yeah.
Priced very aggressively, but they're really high quality. I really like this. So I took a look at the Active Power 12,000. So it's 12,000 milliamp watt hours. I think that's how you say it. I always forget for some odd reason. but yeah, that's really high capacity. That means you can charge most mobile devices four times over. You know, so that can last you for a while.
Yeah.
And what's great about it, it's still small enough that it will fit in your pocket, which a lot of the higher capacity ones don't.
Yeah.
So this is small enough. It will fit in your pocket. Has dual output, 1 amp, 2.1 amp output. So you can charge your tablet and a mobile device at the same time. Easy to charge. Has sort of like this rubberized coating on it too, so it's easy to pick up and everything like that.
I was wondering if that's what that was.
Yeah, it feels good in your hand. It has LEDs that let you know how much capacity is left. And it's only $34.95, which is like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think that's the kicker. It's like nothing.
Yeah, $34.95. Charge your mobile device four times over. That's great. You know, even for like a weekend, you're going camping or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines. A long car ride.
Not overly bulky. You can just...
Yeah. Again, as a guy, if you're wearing jeans, it will fit in your pocket. No problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy enough. You can throw it in a backpack. You can throw it in a laptop bag. You can throw it in a purse if you're a girl. Yeah, it's just really great.
Nice.
And it comes with 2-year warranty as well. You know, so you do get kind of get that peace of mind if you think something would happen. So yeah, it's just a really great product. Again, awesome. Two awesome products this week. I can't really say much bad about either of them.
Yeah. Sweet.
So yeah, so if you're in the market for a mobile power bank, I know a lot of people are, just because we're using our mobile devices so much these days, and we're not always where we can charge them. These are great devices, and again, they're very this one is very inexpensive for the quality and the capacity on it. So
nice.
So yeah, so we'll jump from there into Case Mod Friday, which is one of my favorite sections on the website. It's each Friday. We feature a case mod or a build that's been completed in the community. And right now, the Thermaltake Case Mod Invitational Season 2 is going on. So there's a lot of cool builds in there. And I picked one out of there called Adrenal Express. And the whole theme behind it is delivering adrenaline, sort of. That's kind of like the idea behind it. But this is a really cool build just for the fact that I've never really seen the couple things that he did. I haven't really seen on a lot of builds. First, he used like these springs to hold the center part of the case in place, which is kind of cool. And then
Took suspended into the middle of the case.
So he custom,
like a case inside a case.
Yeah, he custom fabricated the inside of the case to hold the motherboard and everything like that. Secondly, it's kind of hard to see. You might have to go to the build log, but at the top part of that section, you see all the cables coming out.
Mm-hmm.
He custom fabricated the cables from like industrial power connectors. So like they're not normal connectors. So
yeah.
the actual center of the case is actually modular, which means he can unplug those.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
the whole thing can just unplug.
Yeah, so he was able to do that, and it's cool because he didn't just use normal connectors, right? He actually used found these really big power connectors, and he took all the cables out, and then he put the cables from the actual power supply into there.
Yeah.
Just a really cool build. One other cool thing, it's kind of hard to see again in the pictures, is that on the front he made these like syringes that look like adrenaline shots. And they're actually filled with coolant and things like that. That was pretty cool too.
Are they actually connected to the loop? Probably not.
I couldn't tell. I don't believe that they are. It was just cool that, you know, this is kind of, again, reminds me of like an old school build. Like, not the super, I would say super sleek or anything like that. It's just like he had a theme and he kind of followed it.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
It kind of, to me, it's like a lab kind of theme, I guess. Like it's like a, I don't know, like it's like a, an experiment inside of, you know, it's like case, it's a protective case.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. And I love the colors, the neon, we don't see enough of these days. I don't think a lot of
no,
people do it.
It got used a lot in the past. And so they don't use it anymore. I love neon green though.
Yeah. So this is a really cool mod. I just can't say enough about it, really. I like it. And it is being voted on right now. So on our link to the build log, we also link to the voting page. So that will allow you to vote on this build for the Case Mod Invitational.
This one is actually part of this current season?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was from the last one.
No, it's from the current season. Cool. So that all the voting for that is going on now.
So if you like it, he does need your vote.
Yeah, if you like it, definitely go ahead and vote. And there's a bunch of other ones in there too. So if you see other one you like, you can vote for that one as well.
Yeah, there's some really good builds in there.
Yeah, there's some awesome builds.
I haven't seen. Do they have the prize listed? It's got to be a decent prize because
It's like a whole system really.
Okay.
From what I saw, so
yeah, because these are some pretty out there builds.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty expensive.
Yeah. So. We will go from there. Oh, and for Case Mod Friday, before I forget, because I'm kind of tired, is that we do feature a build each week, and you can go ahead and go back and check out the builds from all of the builds that we featured, you know, since we started doing it, which I can't even tell you how long that's been.
Long time.
It's been quite a while. And something to stay tuned for, at the end of the year, we're going to pick 10 builds that we like. And
nice.
They will be the 10 best builds that we feature in 2015. So it's definitely something to look forward to in that coming up. We'll have a lot of year-end articles, so definitely a lot of cool stuff coming up.
And if they have their own build log and they want to be featured on the site,
yes,
submit it.
Yeah, you can go ahead and submit it. We have a submit your case section on the site, or you can email it cases@thinkcomputers.org, and we'll feature your build.
Nice.
Yes, so we'll move into news, and AMD, a lot of AMD news this week.
Yeah, a lot of good AMD news, actually.
A lot of good AMD news. So we'll start out with Zen, which is the next CPU architecture coming from, coming from AMD. Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
That's what you were actually trying
coming
for.
From AMD. And from insider sources, they said that the prototypes have been tested and there's no significant bottlenecks found, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Which means that the Zen CPUs could compete with Intel on the CPU side of things, which is something that we've kind of been missing out with for a while.
how many years? Probably seven or 8 years.
Yeah, a while.
Yeah.
So the Zen CPUs are set to launch in 2016. Will either be built on 14 or 16 nanometer. So it's kind of interesting. Hopefully they've really, I think this is something that they needed to do. While the APU type deal is good for certain applications for PC enthusiasts,
it's good for business, I guess.
Yeah. But I think they really need to put out a CPU that actually,
yeah. Well, I mean, because right now there's a general assumption that they can't compete with Intel.
Yeah.
So, and then I see mentioned in the article that they're focusing on strong individual core usage, not just throwing in a bunch of cores in there and calling that good, which is what they've been doing. But that's actually kind of inefficient because most software isn't written for like 8 cores, et cetera. So
any software is.
Yeah, so it's kind of pointless. So you need strong core performance. So hopefully we see that. Hopefully we see some good instruction sets included that bring them back on par with Intel.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting year next year, I think, with a lot of this stuff coming out.
Yeah. You know, I really thought that I was like an Intel fanboy. And then I read this and I was like getting excited. And I was like, you know what? I'm not. AMD just hasn't made anything worth being excited for.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the thing is like, well, over the past year or a couple years, the motherboard manufacturers have kind of helped AMD out by adding certain features on boards. But for the longest time, the AMD boards, like the motherboards, were just crap too.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not having the features that you would want to. I mean, you know, like USB 3.0 wasn't built into the chipset. You know, it's like,
yeah, like standard features.
Yeah, it was, you know, so I think that this will hopefully be a resurgence of AMD in the CPU space. You know, we just have to see. This is all, you know, not hearsay, but from what somebody said, this isn't, you know, we don't have tests, you know.
Yeah. This is just saying things are going well, essentially.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. It's interesting. Obviously, we like to see competition in the market, so.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine if it was actually a better chip than Intel's top-of-the-line consumer chip?
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, we would actually finally see some new exciting stuff by the next release, I think.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's worry that while this will be built on 14 nanometer or 16 nanometer, by the time it's released, Intel will be on 10 nanometer. So,
yeah. But at least it's chasing them now.
Yeah. So it's something to get excited about, especially if you are an AMD fan or, you know, are a current AMD user and you're looking for the next thing. Yeah. This is definitely something to get excited about. All positive things so far that we've heard about it. So there hasn't been like any crazy delays or anything like that or something that they said was going to be in there and now it's not. It's been all positive so far. So,
yeah. Of course, on the other hand, we have sort of had this happen in the past where everyone's like, no, this next AMD chip, it's going to be the one.
Yeah.
And then they suck.
Yeah. So
we'll see. The core design, core layout, I think looks pretty efficient. Looks good.
Yeah. So be an interesting year for CPUs next year. So definitely excited for that. Also talking about chips, the AMD Fiji GPU die shots were finally revealed, which is weird because they've been, you know, Fiji's been out forever. That is a chip that's used on the Fury series, obviously.
Yeah.
R9 Fury series. But it's cool to look at these because it's cool to see the difference between the size and how certain things are laid out. If you're really a chip geek and things like that, it's cool to see how these are designed.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it was released by Chipworks. The picture of the chip is blown up, so it kind of looks really pixelated. It's kind of hard to see.
Yeah.
But we do get to see the HBM buses, which is kind of cool. And you can actually see they're actually a little bit larger, or they take up more space on the chip than than a GDDR5 bus, but they're much faster. They're 1024-bit compared to 64-bit, which is, you know.
Yeah, like 8 times the...
Yeah.
My math is not strong, but something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, it is. It's just something cool to see. You know, if you are kind of a chip geek and you want to see how things are kind of laid out on the chip, it's pretty pretty cool thing to see.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was released this week.
And, huge compared to it, too.
And the kind of big announcement from AMD this week is that they're going to have new software for their graphics cards. So since they consolidated their visual computing into the Radeon Technologies Group, their big first release is the new software, which is going to be called Radeon Software. So instead of Catalyst Control Center with Raptor, it is actually going to be called Radeon Software. So no more Catalyst Control Center, no more Raptor. This is completely built from the ground up. So hopefully, because Catalyst Control Center is really laggy and
nasty,
just
piece
a
of software.
Bad piece of software. This, on the other hand, is built from the ground up, built for Windows 10. It should be simple enough to use. It should have all of your settings in there. It will have game-specific settings, much like Raptor. So you can have certain graphic settings for each different game that you have installed, all that kind of stuff. We have all the screenshots on the page. There's a lot of cool stuff that's going to be built into this. It should come out on the 28th of this month, I think. 28th of November, this should be out. So this is kind of a big deal if you are an AMD user. Because you'll get a lot of cool stuff in this. Definitely a lot easier to use than Catalyst Control Center, for sure.
Yeah, it'd be cool if this works. I mean, this is just like the chip thing, though. Like, they say it's going to be good, or it's supposed, you know, it is what it is, and it usually just sucks.
Yeah, I think that it would be a nice refresh for people, because we've been using Catalyst Control Center for the longest time.
Yeah. I mean, the same is true. We've been using the same essential NVIDIA software as well, but it works well, so
yeah, so
hopefully this works well.
Yeah, and I think that it will, because it is built from the ground up. It's not built off of something else or something that's been out.
Yeah, hopefully they use no code from Catalyst.
So it's kind of exciting. Obviously, that will be the big I think that will be the big software update too, so we should see a lot of, you know, different things in that
features.
Yeah, a lot of different
feature set
in that driver update, so definitely be cool to see.
Yeah, it'd be good. And hopefully the driver is good too, because, well,
yeah,
they struggle there as well.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have a bunch of updates there from AMD. So if you are an AMD graphics user, definitely an exciting time for you this month.
Yeah, I'd be excited.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll move on from that to kind of, I don't know if it's, it's kind of bad to say this is funny, but it's just odd to me. So Lian Li decided to make a water block.
Yeah.
A CPU water block for some reason, not sure why. You know,
It's not really up their alley.
Yeah, it's just, I feel it's kind of odd, because most of these companies who are jumping into water cooling do an AIO.
They have like a full lineup.
Yeah, or have an AIO. This is kind of weird, because this is just a water block. I don't know if they're planning more things. But one thing that I do have to say is that Lian Li does make quality products. So and they said that they're bringing that quality to this product, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know? Most water blocks these days are made pretty well. They have to be.
Yep.
You know.
The thing too is that it's not just that like Lian Li was like, let's make this. They actually got help from Overclockers UK, which is a legit site. And
yeah. Yeah.
So I would think it's probably a pretty decent block. I mean, in the sea of blocks available, you know, it should be pretty good. There's tons of options out there. It's just another one to add to it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for Lian Li, but maybe this is the start of something new for them. This is the start of
branch away from cases.
Yeah, not branch away from cases, but maybe, you know, they see how popular and how successful like a company like EK is. Because they pretty much rule the market and they do have quality products, and Lian Li is like, well, we can do that too, you know. And
I'm sure they have the facilities for it.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. You know, we'll see how that goes. We'll see if it's just a one off from them or something like that, or you know, we'll see.
They don't do anything but cases, do they? I can't think of any other products.
They do desks, case desks.
Well, yeah, that's a case.
I'm not sure. I think they do some other stuff.
any cooling products whatsoever. See, the other thing too is when I think of Lan Li, I for whatever reason I think of like air cooling, if anything.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever done. I'm like going on their website right now.
I'm trying to think from CES at their booth. I don't remember anything but cases.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's their main business is
Yeah.
cases. Yeah, I think it's all cases.
I mean, it could be really good for them. It could be really good for us.
Yeah, I
Because
mean that's
they
that.
could make really good stuff. It looks good. Usually you want like, I mean, you don't want to buy just one company's water or like CPU block and then like another company's GPU blocks because it typically doesn't look good. So I would like to see a complete lineup from them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I was like. This is kind of weird that it's just a CPU block. So maybe this was just like getting their foot in the door, and then maybe they'll come out with a whole line of different things.
Seeing if there's interest before they invest too heavily into it.
Yeah, I think that could be it. So it's cool, interesting to say the, you know.
Yeah. You know what I think? Because I've thought of this before with like Thermaltake coming out with their water cooling and stuff. Like, it's kind of you to just like make a few blocks is kind of really risky. You almost have to have a block for like, you know, there's so many different types of cards. Like EK, I think one of the reasons they're so successful is because they have like a full coverage block for like every GPU that's come out. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? So like anybody that has any card can look to EK and purchase a product from them, which just puts their name out there more. You
Yeah.
see them in more builds. So like I think in order to be successful, to like you have to look successful. You have to be seen, you know? And so it seems to me like it's a big investment to get into this because of how much inventory you have to build.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, we don't know if they're going to come out with more products, or this is just a one-off, or this is just
Yeah.
something that somebody there had an idea and they wanted to do. You know, you just don't know. But it does look like a good block. The qual if they put the same amount of quality into this that they did their cases, I would say it would be a pretty good product. You
Yeah.
know.
Yep,
So
for
yeah.
sure.
So also talking about water cooling or liquid cooling. CryoRig finally announced their A series hybrid liquid coolers. So these were kind of on the map for a while. They were shown at Computex. They are an all-in-one liquid cooling, but then the actual CPU block or pump has a little fan on it, which is interesting. So it actually will cool the things around the CPUs, such as your
Yeah.
memory and things like that. And CryoRig has had a really great start, I think. Their products, the ones that we reviewed, were amazing for air coolers, and now they're getting into the AIO market, and hopefully these will be just as good. Yeah, I really like the way these look. I don't know what it is about their logo and the fans, it just looks awesome.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
I as good as Asetek stuff is, it's not that exciting to me.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, but I mean, this is essentially it's just an Asetek pump with a fan thrown on top of it. But I mean, I'm sure it'll be good still.
Yeah, we'll see how these go. Obviously, when the reviews come out, they'll you know.
Hopefully, we write ours.
Yes, we should be getting one of these soon.
Be good.
So, it's just cool. I really like CryoRig's story just because they kind of came out of nowhere, and they
Yeah.
kind of just they did everything right. The marketing was right, the products followed the marketing. They were actually good products, which is sometimes you don't see that in a new company.
Yeah.
And all of their products have been great that we've tested. So hopefully these will be do just as good. So we will definitely see that in the future.
Yeah.
And then finally, talking about EK released their EKD Bay spin reservoir, and I feel like these are kind of just like missed out on because, you know, this is something these are reservoirs, these are bay reservoirs that go in like your 5 1/4 inch drive bays, and I feel that these are just like nobody uses them anymore.
Nobody wants those bays in general.
Yeah, but like nobody uses these anymore because like the big reses that go inside your case have kind of become popular, and we actually have room inside our cases now. And I
Yeah.
really, these were like, when these first came out, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, you could see the liquid
Yeah.
in there, and like, it was something different.
Most of the starter kits come with a 5 1/4, Bay Reservoir.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general though, most people don't use these. I mean, the custom builds usually delete the 5 1/4 bays anyways.
Yeah.
To create more space within the case. They're kind of cool, but
To me they're cool. That's like why I wanted to feature the stories, because I think they're cool, and it has a little spin indicator that shows the flow, which I think is cool.
Which actually slightly reduces the flow.
Yeah.
But
still cool. I still think it's cool.
Yeah, they're just not popular.
Yeah, yeah, definitely not popular. But I like them. So definitely if you're looking for one, EK has one. It's just, like you said, they pretty much have everything that you need to do a complete water cooling setup. So definitely if you're into the Bay Reservoir, this is one that you should look at, I feel. So
yeah, I think this is like what I was like really meant by it. Like, you just have to have everything. Because you want anybody that wants to do any aspect of their build you want them to be able to buy your product.
Yes.
So like EK has everything. Even if it's not popular, they have it.
Yeah. That's they're the number one go to. I think that if somebody was asking me about water cooling products, I would just be like, go to EK. You can get everything you want. They have a configuration thing on their website. So like, if you're not sure what you need, you type in the products that you have, and they'll say, you know, they'll tell you what you have, and it's good to go, you know?
Yeah. And it's not even necessarily that they're like the best all the time. It's, they're just like there, you know, it's going to work. You know, it's going to be a pretty high quality piece. There's only like been one time in history I can think of where they actually had a quality issue.
Yeah.
And they fixed all that. And yeah, it's just, like you said, it's just a go-to company.
For sure. So we'll get out of their normal enthusiast products and talk about a really funny product that was announced or released.
Come on, just tell us the reason you took this picture, didn't you?
No, I did not. I did not have this keyboard. So a company released an emoji keyboard, which basically looks like a Mac keyboard.
Yeah.
But on a lot of the keys, there's emojis, and you, much like you would on a normal keyboard where you hit like the function key, and you have a secondary thing, this one is like that. Instead of a function key, you have an emoji key, and it just has emojis. And, you know, I don't know who would use this, but actually, I put this on my Facebook, and a couple people commented that they would really like this because... they're marketers, and a lot of marketers do use emojis, you know? And they just said it would just be much easier, because it is a normal keyboard, you know, that you would use. And if you're doing certain marketing things, or, you know, Instagram or whatever on your computer, you know, if you're using emojis a lot, this would make sense.
Yeah. I guess, do people really use them that much? That's my thing. I'm like, I use them, but not like, I need a shortcut on my keyboard because I'm using them so many times a day.
I mean, I think this definitely has a demographic. I think it's much younger than us, obviously.
Are we just too old for this?
I don't think that we're too old. I just think that we're computer people, and like, we're like, you know, we're like PC enthusiasts. We don't really use this type of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not in our vein. Yeah.
So, the keyboard is called the Emoji Keyboard. It's from EmojiWorks. So there's a 47 emoji model that will cost $80. There's a 94 emoji. It's called Emoji Plus. They'll retail for $90. And then 120 Emoji Pro model will be $100.
I'm not going to lie. I would have thought like $30, $40, and $50.
Yeah, but if it's built... See, this looks like the...
Do you think it's an actual...
Mac keyboard? I don't know.
If it's that quality, I can understand, because they probably had to buy it for almost retail in the first place.
Yeah, not exactly sure. But
now, question. Is it like hardwired into the keyboard where you can like use this in any application?
I believe so.
So like you could be in Word and like throw in your emojis.
Yeah, as long as this software supports emojis, yeah. Because emojis are part of the Unicode, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you should be able to just use them.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm almost positive it's like wired in there. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Yeah.
Because it does have the function key for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
But
you're
with like a
installing.
little bit of software in the keyboard that inserts it or whatever.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of a funny story.
Dude, how do you think we're gonna see a lot more goofy things like this as time goes on? Probably.
The thing is that it has to be some market for this, right?
Yeah.
People are gonna buy it.
Yeah,
Like I
because
said,
they literally invested the money to make it, so.
I put it on Facebook and people commented said that they had something that they would want. You know, so it's all about the market, and I think that emojis are really popular, especially on mobile devices, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot, and the thing is too, here's the thing. So, you know, if you're gonna use this on a Mac, all your text messages you can send all, if you're using iMessage, you can use it on your PC, you can use it on your computer.
Yeah.
So you can text message essentially on your computer. So if you're doing a lot of that and you want to use emojis, this would be the perfect keyboard for you, right?
Yeah.
You know? So
I guess.
yeah.
I just suppose it's not for me.
Yeah.
I'll get you one for Christmas, though.
I really don't. If you want to spend $100 on me, buy me something else. But we'll go to gaming news. It's kind of how we
Oh,
end each
man.
podcast, and this is Disaster Story, which we talked about last week. We talked about Batman Arkham Knight re-released last week, how it was really bad, had all these issues, and now Steam has publicly announced that they will accept refunds for the game. So if you purchase the game on Steam and you still don't like it, you can get a full refund, which is good.
And that was after who made this? Was it Warner?
Yeah.
Yeah, after they announced it's broken, it's never going to be fixed. So know that.
That's just so bad. I mean, we talked about it last week at
Yeah.
length, so I don't feel we should have to talk about
No,
it so
rehash it,
much.
but
But yeah, it's just man, that just tells you something right there. I mean,
I don't want them to make any more PC games. They don't. No, you're done. You don't even bother to fix it. You're done.
And
Sell the franchise to somebody else.
you would think that it would be fixable. That's the, you know, these developers get paid, I assume, a good money.
Yeah.
I don't
Well,
know how you.
I guarantee it's fixable. They don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. And I don't think they're using it correctly. Like, I don't think they're like, okay, we put out this patch or we fix it. Here's an open beta. You know,
Yeah.
everybody get on and test it and send us your feedback, because they're not, obviously they're not doing that.
No.
You know, so yeah, it's just a sad story for them. You know, I heard the games are great. I really never played any of the Batman games, but I heard they're great.
I played the first one a little bit.
Yeah.
It was good.
That's what I mean. So it's kind of a sad story that this kind of happened, especially for PC users. I mean,
Yeah.
you know.
Pretty much kicked to the curb.
Yeah, so but that is yeah, they
Yeah, that's that.
So
I mean,
talking
I guess it's good that like they just like, in a way, it's good that they were like, we're not fixing it. They're not trying to string anybody along to buy it.
Yeah, and it's good that Steam is officially came out and said we're offering refunds, 'cause this is
Yeah.
kind of bullshit.
I almost feel like Steam should go one step further and be like, we're no longer supporting this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's up to the developer there, 'cause they're just a platform, you know.
Yeah, but don't sell it even, you know?
Yeah.
Like, offer refunds and no and remove it from the Steam store.
Yeah.
But hey, if somebody wants to buy it,
Yeah, I think people want to buy it still. I
help
think,
yourself.
yeah, we'll see if there's any more patches, but it's just been bad, and yeah. So, talking about developers, EA released their yearly earnings or whatever earnings, and it shows that they make more than double from extra content than actual games. This is digital. This is not physical games, but digital games. So if you're buying a, if you're actually purchasing a game through Steam or through Origin or whatever, they make more money off of DLC and microtransactions than they do actually off of the game itself. Which is kind of crazy. Which is that this is why you see microtransactions and DLC being so popular these days, is because these companies make so much money off of it.
Yeah, I think. I mean, this has been known in general that microtransactions are far more valuable. That's why you see free to play games with microtransactions. It's the only way that, you know, they would do it if there wasn't money in it.
But it's just kind of sad that
it means it's not going away.
The sad part is that microtransactions were developed for free to play games. But if I'm paying $60 for a game and then I have to buy DLC and like, just like with Star Wars Battlefront, the season pass is over $100.
What?
Yeah, that includes all the DLCs, but still, it's $100.
No, it should be $60 for a game and that gets you everything.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean. It's just like that's how it is these days, and it's sad because, like I said, microtransactions and that was all developed for free to play games. You know, so now I'm paying $60 for a game, plus anytime there's any type of new content, I have to pay for it. And then it's in some games now, if I want something for my character, or whatever, I have to go buy it. I have to pay for it. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go just by their based off their earnings, I mean, you're going to pay $60 for the game, and then you're going to spend an additional $180. I don't think that actually happens, but by that number, the numbers, I mean, that's how it is.
I think that,
I guess that's possible.
I think that the same thing too is that people get into these games, and that's like, you know, that's their game. And anytime there's when I played World of Warcraft, when there was an expansion, which the expansions were like $50, you know, I bought.
But they were like full, almost like full games, sort of.
Yeah,
I mean, they were much more than just the stupid microtransaction. Yeah. Buy some potions and stuff with actual money.
But what I mean is like, you know, when you're into a game and there's new content for it, you want it and you're going to pay for it, which is, you know, it's not the way it used to be, though. It used to be there was updates and they were free.
Well, you know what's the real sad part of this is now the original game isn't, I don't think they're made as well as they used to be. And they're not as full as they used to be.
Yeah, that's because the thing.
They know they're going to sell you that other bit of the game later. So you're willing to pay them for the game now and for the game later.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I think that games aren't complete. I think they're not made as well because they know that they're going to have the DLC, which is going to bring in more money. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the story is not even completed. You have to buy the DLC to complete the thing or whatever, and it's just like...
And we buy right into it, though.
Yeah, we're kind of, I mean, you know, what else?
No choice, sort of, yeah.
Yeah, what else?
If they just choose not to play the games, and
yeah,
not enough people will do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. It makes sense that you can see why DLC is so popular for these companies, because they're making a boatload of money off of it.
Yeah, because it's not about the game.
Yeah.
For them, it's about these quarterly results.
Yes. So, talking about game launches... Fallout 4 launches in 4 days, and they released their launch trailer, and I played one Fallout game, this is like years ago, so I never really got into it, but watching the trailer makes me want to get Fallout 4.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've watched it yet, but you should. It is a really awesome trailer. It not only shows the story or what Fallout 4 is going to be about, but it shows a lot of the action scenes. And everything like that, graphics look awesome in it, too.
Yeah.
I,
like, want to, but I don't know if I want to, like, risk trying due to time. Because this is a game that is, well, you get your money's worth.
Yes.
Bethesda does a great job of building big game.
I don't think I'm going to be getting it because I'm going to be getting Star Wars, and I think that will take up all my time. And I've still been playing a lot of Payday 2 because the Crime Fest is, I think it's going.
Still going?
I don't know, but we've been playing a lot.
I actually played the other night.
Really? Did you not die?
Did I not die? Well, you don't technically die in that game. So
you did die.
Maybe one time.
Did you play with Jack and...
No, I just got on.
Okay, cool.
It's a long, long level.
Yeah, a lot of those, a lot of the missions in Payday are pretty long. But Fallout 4, definitely, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen the trailer, definitely check out the trailer. It's awesome. Yeah. I think this is going to be a great. This is going to be a big seller for them. I think this is one of the most anticipated games of the year, for sure. So definitely check it out.
Yeah. Yes. All the fans, I'm sure, are going crazy right now.
Yes. And then finally, Epic Games sort of announced a new game, but nobody knows what it's about or what it is.
I think that's weird.
So the game is called Paragon. And each week on the website, they're announcing heroes, the playable heroes that are in the game. One thing I noticed about the first hero that they released called Twin Blast is the character model is like super high quality. It's like insanely high quality. I don't know if you saw any of this yet.
No.
But the whole idea is each week they're going to announce a hero and allow you to select in-game, like you sign up for the beta and you select, they reveal a hero and then you select one of the abilities that you get to use with the hero in the game. So then when you get into the game, when you use the hero, you have that ability right off the bat. It's pretty cool. But we don't know what type of game this is. We don't know if this is a shooter. My thinking is that it's a MOBA because they're releasing heroes each week. You know,
just more of that style.
Yeah. I think that because they're already working on Unreal Tournament, which is their shooter.
So why are they making another shooter at the same time?
Yeah.
To compete with themselves, essentially.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a MOBA. That's my thinking on it. A lot of people said it's going to be a shooter. I'm saying it's a MOBA.
Okay. I'd probably side with you. I'd guess that.
Yeah, just because different heroes each week.
Know. That's just not a shooter thing. You don't really care necessarily about like characters in a shooter.
Yeah. I mean,
you do, only, but you're really what you care about is their skill set.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, this is going to be a MOBA. It might be good. MOBAs are extremely popular, obviously.
Yeah. What if it's like a shooting style one instead of like a... Well, it's more like fantasy-based, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to see one that's like, I guess, gun-based.
Yeah, I think that, you know... It would be cool to see that. Obviously, I signed up for the beta already. They have it on the website. You can sign up for the beta. You know, really easy to do. So obviously, when this becomes beta playable, we will be playing it and probably streaming it. So
nice.
Definitely stay tuned for all of that. And that is it for news, right?
Yeah.
That is it. That is it for news this week. We'll talk about what we have coming up next week. I wanted to get it done this week, but I've had the Alienware Steam Machine in here for a couple weeks now, and it is a pretty interesting machine. There's a lot into it, so I really wanted to do a good review. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different things, and pretty much every day I'm getting a new update of SteamOS too, so there's a lot of things they're fixing and tweaking.
That's awesome.
And a lot of things we had to kind of clarify with Alienware. So hopefully next week I'll have the review done. And it's kind of hard to test the machine because natively there's not a whole lot of games that you can benchmark on SteamOS. You know what I mean? And because it's running on SteamOS, you can't really run like Fraps or anything to test the... You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
You might be able to. I haven't figured it out yet. It's just a different type of machine.
I just wonder if you can access like a console and
you can
have it display.
You can access
render the frames.
You can close out Steam or minimize Steam and be in Linux. But it's Linux.
Yeah. and then you're dealing with that.
Yeah. So, but it is a really cool product. It's just hard to. I could review it as it is and what it does and everything like that, but I want to get some type of benchmark out of it. You know what I mean? Like what it can play and things like that. Steam controller I've been using is very interesting. I have to say that. And the one downfall of this whole system is that not many games are made for a controller.
Within Steam.
Within Steam. It's just a little more difficult to do certain things. I've played some games with it. I actually played Payday with it. I streamed it. So what's cool about the Steam Machine is that if you have a PC on your network that has Steam, any game that's not SteamOS compatible, you can stream to it. So I streamed it from my main PC to the Steam, and I played pretty well, but using the controller, it's just something you have to get used to. It works.
Trying to reach for a key all the time.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm used to playing with a keyboard, but I've been trying to get some more arcade style games. I think that's really what Steam Machine is really made for.
Yeah.
And certain maybe fighting games or, you know, typical games where you would use a, you know, you would use a controller, not so much FPS games.
Yeah, I would try some flight games and some driving games.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. You know, again, I can stream certain games and things like that, but I really want to test SteamOS native games to see how the hardware does.
Yeah.
It's kind of, just kind of hard to find those games. And that's why I was trying to talk with Alienware. I know it's a Steam issue, but a SteamOS issue is that you can't go into the store and look for games that are only SteamOS compatible. You know,
there's
what
no
I mean?
Filter.
There's no filter. Now, the operating system will filter out games that are like have controller settings. So there's like certain games like GTA 5 is made to be played with controller. Like they have a settings for an Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's thrown in there with it. So that's a Windows only game. You know what I mean? So basically because I'm using a controller, it throws in controller games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, they said they're coming up with an update that's going to fix that. Because I would like to find Steam OS only games. I found a couple, you know, and a lot of them are cross platform too. So I can download like Counter-Strike, CSGO. I can get the, Steam OS version of it, you know?
Yeah.
Things like that. But it's just a longer review. I think that, you know, to actually, if I would have put out the review this week, it wouldn't have been as complete as I would have liked it.
Yeah.
So I think that next week I'll have a lot more on that.
Sweet. Should be worth the wait.
Yes. And then I will be taking a look at the Skosh Sport Clip Air headphones. And these are really cool. These are Bluetooth headphones, that are kind of like a sport type headphone, which is pretty awesome, which means like, one, they'll stay on your head, when you're using them. They're wireless, obviously, so you don't have any wires, so you don't have to worry about, you know, you could be playing basketball and your phone or mobile device can be like in your bag on the side of the court, and you can still be listening to music, you know, which is awesome. So these are Bluetooth connected, or, you know, you could just be like, you know, cleaning around the house and you don't have to, you can have headphones in, but you don't have to have your mobile device with you, you know, or anything like that, which is nice. And I believe these are IPX4 rated, which means they're water resistant. And everything like that. So, basically, you know, if you're sweating or anything like that, you can kind of just wipe these off, which is nice.
Yeah.
They're IPX4 rated. So, you know, all that different kinds like mold resistance and dust resistance and obviously water resistant, everything like that. Pretty cool. I've never actually used a set of these Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah. I've seen lots of other versions. Usually they're a lot bulkier.
Yeah, these are... I've used, like, the over-the-head. These are actual earbuds.
I've seen, like, earbud ones, but, like, they're... The driver portion of the headphone is usually a lot bigger because I think it has the batteries in it.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm curious to see, like, battery time. It says 7 hours. That's pretty... enough for just about anything you're
getting. Yeah, and this is easily, like, you just charge it via micro USB. There's no batteries or anything like that. You know, so yeah, it's pretty cool. They're $100. So yeah, I'll be doing a little, I got to get into the gym to test these out.
You might as well send those my way, Bob.
You know, I got to get into the gym and see how these work out, you know, but, excited to test these out. Skosh makes a lot of really cool products. So have that. We might have some other stuff. It all depends on what we get in. I wanted to get some DDR4 reviews done, but my Z170 system went down. So
what?
Motherboard just done.
What?
Yeah, so I'm getting a new motherboard in. It's just got to take time to get here. So
yeah.
So I would have had a DDR review done this week and then one next week, but I just got to wait on that. And that kind of holds up our M.2 testing as well. So. So we're just getting the other stuff done. A lot of cool mobile products in. A lot of other stuff coming in too. As for
a lot of stuff coming in all of a sudden.
Yeah, for holiday season. So we'll have a lot of cool stuff for you guys. So at the end of the podcast, we talk about anything cool we did or anything like that. Did you do anything cool this week?
I watched a couple of decent movies.
Like?
Southpaw.
Oh, yeah. I had wanted to watch that. Is it good?
Dude, it's so good.
Really?
It's so, the soundtrack is so awesome, too.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that movie's legit.
I have been wanting to watch like a really good movie. I've been kind of like bored with what I've been watching.
I've watched a lot of really bad movies lately, but that was actually a good one. And I watched another movie called End of the Tour, which was actually shot in Grand Rapids, where I live, for the most part. So
that's cool.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. This is like a Sundance movie, but it was a good movie. It actually got a 99 on Rotten Tomatoes. So.
Oh, nice. I'll have to check that out, too.
Yeah.
One
other thing.
Okay.
I'm doing a race tomorrow that is like the biggest mountain bike race in the country.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's called the Iceman Cometh Challenge. And like last year, there was like almost 6,000 people in it. So that should be pretty cool.
Are you going to win?
No. Maybe my age group, but there's like pros and stuff.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. You're not a pro yet.
No, not yet. Maybe next year.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I need to get into something like that where like I have something to do, like it's like a physical activity.
Yeah. Yes, you should.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Although, on the other hand, it takes a ton of your time. So.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
So I finally got my Coin 2.0 in.
Oh, yeah.
So Coin is a really cool little credit card that holds all of your credit cards in it, like the actual data. So what it is, it's a little credit card that has a display on it and a little battery inside. And what it does is it comes with a little card reader, and it's connected to your phone. So you open up the Coin app and you enter your credit cards and you swipe. They come with a little swipe card reader. You swipe your cards in and then they're saved on Coin, and then you transfer that to the actual card.
Yeah.
So then when you go to pay, you can select, I think you can store up to 8 cards inside.
Okay.
So instead of carrying all these credit cards or whatever type of cards with you, you could just have Coin, and it's really cool. It's kind
of, it stores the magnetic data.
Yeah. And it's really cool to pay with because it's like an all black card and it looks really cool. they're like, what is this? You know, it works really well.
Yeah, you feel really cool.
Yeah, I've used it a few. I just got it the other day. I've used it twice, and it's kind of cool. And it's just nice that, you know, I don't have to carry all these other cards with me now.
Yeah,
you know.
So you said it works with an app on your phone. Does it actually store the data in your phone and it has to be like linked through Bluetooth, or does it actually store the data on the card?
It stores the data on the card,
and I assume it's heavily encrypted.
Yes.
So then, does it then delete the data off your out of the app on your phone?
The data is still on your phone.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I don't know if I like that though.
It's just like anything that you have stored on your phone, like any.
Oh yeah, I don't like doing
you
that.
You know, I mean, it's obviously like the app's password and passcode protected, as well as Touch ID protected. And what's one thing that's really cool about it is that because it has a link, a Bluetooth link with your phone.
Yeah.
If I leave this somewhere and I walk away with my phone and it gets past a certain thing, it sends me an alert that says, did you leave your Coin?
Nice.
Which is kind of cool, too.
That's kind of crazy.
And Coin 2.0 supports NFC as well, so you can do the touch to pay, which is kind of
nice.
Cool. Yeah, so it's pretty legit.
I was wondering if, because I remember, dude, it must have been what, like over a year ago when you first like linked that on your Facebook?
Yeah.
I was actually wondering if that was ever going to come out.
Yeah, so they had the first version, which I just opted not to get.
Okay.
I was just like, you know, and then the second version, I was like, I'm going to wait. Because the first version, they had some issues with swiping issues and things like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not going to get this one, you know.
You don't want to be somewhere trying to pay and it doesn't work.
Yeah, so this one I got, and it's pretty awesome. It's one of the only Kickstarter products I've actually backed.
Nice.
So yeah, really cool.
So, question: you go to Vegas. Is that the only card you're going to bring, or are you going to bring your other cards as backup?
I mean, they're in my wallet. They're still. I mean, I still carry a wallet that has room for those cards. You know.
But isn't that the point, to like not have to carry everything?
Yeah, I think it's just weird. Like, I think it's just something I have to get used to.
Yeah, to learn to trust it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's worked the two times I've used it. Gotcha. You know, the only thing is.
Two for two.
I guess the restaurant, they asked what type of card it was because they had to I guess, like, when they're scanning the card, they have to put, like, Visa, MasterCard. And, like, it was, like, I had to tell them that it was, like, the card that I was using was a MasterCard.
Yeah. So you, like, you cycle through it on, is there, like, a button on it to, like, choose which card to pay with?
Yeah. Yeah, you cycle through.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, it's still really cool. I think I like ideas like that. I really liked the idea when I saw it.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it works really well. The app works great. Yeah, it's no real issues with it, so I like it. Definitely recommend it if it's something that you're looking. I don't think it's that expensive. I don't know how expensive it is. I mean, obviously, excuse me. I'm like
dying over there.
Hold on, let me take a drink here.
Let me call you an ambulance.
Yeah. I had backed it when it was originally on Kickstarter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't feel it's that expensive, you know, so yeah, I guess before I die, we'll say that, we'll kind of finish the podcast off. So yeah, every, week when we do the podcast, we will have a show notes page that has everything that we talked about, all of the links and everything like that. So if we're talking about something and you want to check it out more, you can obviously click the link and check it out. We are on iTunes and Android and all that. You just search Think Computers, all one word. And definitely stay tuned for some cool stuff coming up on the site. We have a lot of cool articles coming up and some other stuff, some contests and things like that. So stay tuned for all of that. And until next time, we'll catch you guys later.